Okay, so when we sat down to watch this movie, it's on YouTube, and the link to it and the show notes will be in the description below. But there is this golden comment on the video, and it was, "I saw this movie once before, but under the name Z-Rex. I was a bit inebriated, and it helped to improve the movie a bit."
So obviously this doesn't bode well for the film, but we decided we have to watch it anyway. We didn't have high expectations looking at the IMDb ratings, but we decided to do it anyway. So right now you are listening to the Cheap Cinematics Podcast. You're listening to the Cheap Cinematics Podcast. This week's episode is The Jurassic Dead, where Evan and I watch The Jurassic Dead, tell you our thoughts about it from an entertainment and technical perspective, and let you guys know if you should watch it or not, as well as give our final ratings. This is the Cheap Cinematics Podcast. Hello and welcome to today's episode of the Cheap Cinematics Podcast. My name is Josh.
And I'm Evan.
And today we are going to be talking about Jurassic Dead. So I think I have a better subtitle for this podcast. Rather than reviewing free flicks, it should be, "We suffer so you don't have to." Because this movie was suffering. So I'm going to read the synopsis. I'm going to read the synopsis on the IMDb. An insane scientist working with the Axis of Evil tries to bring down the United States with EMP blasts, a zombification gas, and an undead Z-Rex. So it's a very short synopsis. So I wrote my own personal synopsis for how bad this movie is. Then we're going to read the synopsis. We're going to discuss it a little bit. And then we are going to give our ratings and if you should watch this movie or not. Jurassic Dead is supposed to be a dinosaur thriller movie, but turned into a comedy for the worst reasons for the filmmakers. This movie was made on crowdfunded $1,947, and it is very visible. There are inconsistent, incorrect, and just wrong edits that make the movie almost unwatchable. This movie feels influenced by the All-Star music video from Smash Mouth, and it just feels very wrong. If you're a fan of Mr. Beast-style explosions, strawberry jelly for blood, poorly chroma-keyed backgrounds, fart sounds, terribly balanced audio, and bad puppeteering, this movie is for you. And then my favorite line from the movie is, "Hoorah, monster sushi."
Okay, so my basic synopsis, it's a bit more in-depth than that. So to begin with, the film is not a good one. It suffers from so many flaws that we're going to be here a while. But to start with...
Before we go further, I let him read my synopsis before I put it in our Slack chat before I went and recorded this. I don't know what he has written. I don't know how long this is going to be. I don't know what it's going to be about. I don't know how long it's going to take him. So just bear with us.
Okay. So to begin with, it's got bad VFX. It's got bad audio. It's got bad colors. It's got bad cinematography. It's got bad acting. However, that is not, in my opinion, the key flaw of this film. You could get over all of that, except maybe the bad acting. Like, all of that can be negligible if it had a good story. And that's where this movie's main flaw comes in. It does not have a story. It has no character arc. It has no conclusion, beginning, climax. It's got nothing. Like, 2 minutes into the movie, you have your first scene that has no context until about 50 minutes into the movie. Then the second scene has about no context until about 30 minutes into the movie. The characters are just stereotypes. They're badly written. The dialogue is horrible. And that's why I think this movie is so bad. Is just because it has no story. You cannot make a movie without a story. It's impossible. I mean, these guys obviously did it, so they had to have some idea of what they were doing. But it's got nothing. It's got the rules of the world that they established, they violate in almost every conceivable way possible. We watched it. We had to go back a few times because we were really actually confused. It's not coherent. There is looking at the way the movie is shot, edited, and written. It's not coherent. just to sum it all up, it's just got a bad story, if a story at all. And that is its worst issue, because everything else can sort of be overlooked if it's got a really compelling story and you get attached to the characters.
Yeah, so I want to comment on the fact that the audio, if you are deaf in your right ear, you'll really enjoy this movie. Because you're not really, you're getting the full effect still. So if you usually don't get the full effect in a movie, you will enjoy this movie more than the average movie. There's a lot of balancing issues with the audio where, like, sometimes...
One thing about the ear cup audio, or, like, one headphone audio, it's not completely deaf in your left or...
right ear.
Wait.
Only the music is in your right ear.
So it's not, like, completely obvious, glaringly obvious. It's slightly lower, which I think makes it worse, because it's off. You need to adjust your headphones to be like, oh, wait, that's weird. It's a bit lower on the right ear. And then you're like, oh, I'm not going to be able to unhear this for the rest of the movie. Which, yeah, yikes. So back to what you were saying about that.
Yeah, so I kind of want to steer away from VFX and video effects until towards the end of the episode, because I want to make sure we have enough time for everything else I want to bring up, because I know Evan could go on very long about VFX. So they were trying to crowdfund $4,400 on their Indiegogo, which will also be linked in the show notes below. So
which is reasonable for a Indiegogo film.
It's reasonable for it's one of the cheaper Indiegogos I've found while looking for movies to watch, and they did it on a roughly $2,000 budget, and I think that's visible in the movie, but I don't think it's terribly obvious. I mean, it is pretty obvious that it's a very low budget film, but I feel like if it had a storyline, I know you kind of got into this, but if it had a storyline to compel people to watch the show and look, or the movie, and look over the terrible graphics, the terrible camera quality, the squished down video, the inconsistent T-Rex sizing, I feel like the movie could have been a lot better if it just had a storyline behind it.
I feel like another thing, going back with the video portion of the movie, so in case this whole movie, like almost every single shot is a VFX shot in some way or another. So I just want to say props to them, because this movie's got an hour and 25 minute runtime, right?
Yeah, just around there.
They basically got an hour and 25 minutes worth of visual effects, like full CG backgrounds, full CG explosions and effects for basically a $2,000 budget minus, and they had to pay actors, they had to pay for props, they had to pay for locations, they had to pay for cameras.
Yeah.
So like, the fact that they were able to stretch that budget that far is truly impressive, actually.
Yeah.
However.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, they did not succeed. They stretched the budget. But they got what they paid for.
Right.
Pretty much.
I want to talk about. I was taking notes through the episode and trying to put timestamps to try to like act like you're watching the movie with us. So we're going through it. This is about 31 minutes and 55 seconds in, and I commented this to Evan because we were watching this over a Discord call together. I didn't understand the plot of the movie 32 minutes in. Now, a movie has an 82-minute runtime, according to IMDb. I did not understand the point of the movie 31 minutes and 55 seconds into the movie.
Yeah, so your job as a filmmaker, as a director, is this is your vision, okay? This is what you want to make. It's how you are making it. However, in all honesty, your vision might be only make sense to you, because there is some context that you're not going to be able to fit into the film that is needed, but it's in your brain, so it makes sense to you. So they completely disregarded this. I feel like they just wanted to make an action film for the sake of making an action film.
And I actually was trying to find the director and the writer's Twitter page. Turns out he made another action film called The Jurassic Thunder. Yeah. So if you guys want us to review that, email us sheepcinematicspodcast@gmail.com.
No.
I really don't want to, but if enough of you want us to review that, I think we'll have to suffer for the listeners. So I want to get into not really VFX, but the chroma key of the movie. which just says kind of VFX. But yeah, but the green screen and the chroma key. There was a lady in a blonde wig, and it was obvious that it was a wig. That was the worst wig job I've ever seen. No offense to the people. That wig on the main character's girlfriend, which I don't know what her name was. I don't know any of the characters' names in this film, so it's going to be very hard to explain what happened. But her wig looked like you could see her. Go ahead.
One thing about the characters' names. I am being legitimately serious. You need to rewatch with like captions the first scene. For each of the character introductions, which are non-existent. It's just like thrown right into them. Or you need to go look at the IMDb page for the cast. That's the only way to figure out.
We did look at the IMDb to try to figure out who each person was. I had the IMDb tab pulled up on my computer while we were watching this. But
yeah, we were flipping between them, really trying to figure it out. We couldn't. We Roxanne. Actually couldn't.
I'm looking at the IMDb page. The lady's name was Roxanne. Was that ever said in the show? Was that ever said in the movie?
No. It probably was at some point, but you gotta bring emphasis. I mean, your whole job as a filmmaker is when you're, or like in a cinematographer, basically, on a little bit of film, the director is going to be the cinematographer, the cameraman, the sound guy, basically. So the way they shot this is like a classic car, but when you're putting multiple people in the frame and you're having dialogue that is horrible, too fast paced, about fast pacing. If you are going to watch this movie, watch it at 1.5 times speed with the sound on. Keep the sound on.
On YouTube, that's where we watch it. I don't know if the YouTube link will still be up, because I think it's technically considered pirating movies. So if anyone asks, we watch this on Tubi, because it's also available there. So I want to comment, before we get any farther, the directors of this movie was Milko Davis and Thomas Martwick, and the writers were Milko Davis and Michelle Paquito. So Milko Davis directed and wrote the film, and I searched his name on Twitter last night, and I sent a screenshot to Evan before we recorded this today. Like I said, Jurassic Thunder. But I'm noticing with low-budget films, the more low-budget films, the more free films that we watch, they happen to all have a political narrative behind them. And I don't want to really get into politics on the show, but one of the main characters of the Jurassic Dead was a guy in a Confederate flag headband with an NRA sticker on the back of his car talking about the government. Why is that character needed in this sort of film that's supposed to be an action dinosaur film?
In my opinion, when it comes to film and television, unless you are making a film that's basically a biography or something, or a documentary, or if you're thinking I'm gonna rip off The Office except for politics as a TV show,
yeah. Isn't that just what House of Cards is on Netflix?
I think so. I don't know. I've never seen it. Oh, God, I shouldn't have said that. But anyway.
I've never seen House of Cards either.
Politics has no place in film unless it's part of the story.
I completely agree.
No character should have any political opinion unless it's a story about George Washington. I would say, okay?
Right. If it's like a Civil War time film or something. But
yeah.
Shelley Lee Page, I feel like I did not pronounce that name correctly, played a racist character not that he was like vocally racist, but I'm trying to stay away from politics here, but there wasn't a purpose to have Spivey, which was the character's name, have a Confederate flag headband or head wrap or whatever it was called.
Should have been an American flag.
Honestly, I think that would have been easier to do, and I think it would have looked better, even though you're not supposed to use an American flag as clothing. But.
You're an American. Okay. So the characters, before we go a bit further,
this film was based in Colorado, by the way.
What? Wow.
This film was based in Colorado. I'm just looking at the IMDb page while Evan talks, and yeah, this film is based in Colorado.
Okay, so back to the characters. When we actually get to the main, they start out with the villain. Scene one introduces the villain talking with the bad guy that you don't see for the rest of the film. Okay? This dude has one scene. starts off, the movie actually starts off pretty good. It's got okay lighting, it's got okay cinematography. Dialogue's not the greatest, but and it's really like cliche, but it's not bad. Not the worst I've ever seen. Throws that out the window immediately for like green screen and yeah. But you introduce the villain, which depending on how your movie works, is a very strong step. Because in order to make a compelling villain, I go based off the MCU because I feel like and occasionally a DC, but that's iffy at best. Because I feel like they generally have the best villains. Like, villains need motivations, and if you start the movie introducing those motivations before you introduce the hero, you are starting to get the viewer to sympathize with the villain. And so when it comes, and then you get them to sympathize with the hero, and then when it comes to a big fight between the two, you've got their emotions struggling over who they want to win, because they already sympathize with both. And that's like your goal, to make them feel a struggle.
I think we need to talk about how this movie was set up before we go any farther.
Yes.
So we open up on, I think it was like a classroom scene. Where
No, you're forgetting. The opening scene, two cars, okay? So, well, three, I think. Cars pull into a lot. One has evil scientist dude, one has a villain that we've never seen before and we won't ever see for the rest of the movie. Evil villain dude gives scientist guy
I keep forgetting about
his
the scene.
Serum back. And then he points gun at evil scientist guy and says, bring the dinosaur back to life. Not explicitly, but that's what happens. And then evil dinosaur, and then scientist guy gets in car and drives away. And we see shot of of zombie T-Rex that's horribly off scale. And then we cut to opening credits and title card.
Yeah, so I want to go to that scene. So this dead dinosaur, which was played by puppeteers, you've talked for like 20 hours. Can I say something?
Yeah.
Okay. This giant dinosaur that was made with puppeteers on the ground when no one's around, it looks like it's 30 feet tall. As soon as someone walks over it, it's the size of a little chihuahua.
Yeah.
There were part of the movie, I forgot to write down a timestamp, but they were walking through a hallway with the dinosaur out the glass window behind them. And it was bigger than the building. And then they fight it, and it's at eye's length. Or it's like eye's height. So you were like, eyes are the same.
Dude, do you remember the part of the movie, the consistency? Wait, no, I'll talk about this later. Anyway, back to the opening. So after you roll the title card, after you do that, you start doing stock footage, fly up to like a church-looking thing. It's supposed to be a school. Then we open on the scientist guy in class. Ironically, none of the students in the class are the students that are in the rest of the film.
But I think that was on purpose because it was supposed to be like they don't know who this guy is when they were reading about him.
I feel like it would have been better character narrative if their professor talked about it and then they were like, this dude's got some more beliefs to our professor. And they're like, the professor? Something like that. The twist villain, there you go, blah, blah, blah. Make the movie have a plot. There we go. Better movie. But anyway. He talks about it. He revives a dead cat. He then gets fired. He then gets run over by a car, making him look villainy.
No, he didn't get ran over by a car. He gets hit by a car, and that's actually going to be the picture on the thumbnail for this episode. It's him getting hit by a car because I took a screenshot of that. Very helpful. Thank you, Tubi. I mean, YouTube. I mean, Tubi.
But okay. So anyway, after you, so you, basically at this point in the movie, about 10 minutes in, you've got the villain set up. You've got, you can debate that they've set up the villain's motivations. Not really, though.
I don't think they have.
I mean, throughout the movie, basically, the whole plot for the villain is he was fired for the government for his radical beliefs, which, again.
So I have a question.
That's not bad, but it's iffy. It's getting close.
I have a question. Yes. I meant to ask you during when we were watching the movie. Is the guy that is releasing the serum? Oh, I should say spoilers ahead. I think a little late for that. If the guy that was releasing serum is a is he the professor?
Yes.
Okay, I thought so. Okay, so Dr. Wojcik Borge, I think is how you pronounce his name. I feel like that's incorrect. I don't think he was casted properly. I feel like, what was the name?
They pass it off.
What? Yeah. So what was the name of the guy who originally got bit by the zombie or whatever, and he turned into it, and then Bro or SWAT or whatever his name was? I feel like he would have been a better doctor to be a government conspiracy guy than the guy who casted got casted as a doctor.
We haven't even gotten to the characters yet, and that's great. Okay, so basically after Dude gets hit by a car, we cut to our introduction of two characters, or our two sets of characters, really. We've got the students, two sisters and their boyfriends, going on, I believe it to be a camping trip.
That's they reference that in like one line.
Okay, so we'll just say they're going somewhere. And then driving next to them, we've got our Black Ops. We've got a dude named Duke who actually looks like, is it Duke Nuke? Is that the cartoon character?
Duke? I don't
basically
remember.
We basically got the Black Ops dudes. Okay? Mind you, no names have been given at this point, and no names will be given.
Oh, yes, they are.
Until, like,
at the very end of the movie, you know how action movies always end with that common comic book style? Because they're always reference of a comic book. This one ends with that, with very flying and graphics putting their names above their head an hour and 50, or 30 minutes after we needed to know their names.
Okay, so we can waive one problem of this movie. It does introduce its character.
Very late.
At the end.
I kind of want to go through the IMDb page to see if you recognize the names of these characters because of how inconsistent their name, not only inconsistent their naming was, because they named nicknames more than they did their actual names, but the fact that they didn't introduce their characters' names. Matt Block as government agent.
Before we continue with this, one thing. We were paying really close attention to the movie because we have like multiple pages worth of notes and stuff on the movie, so we're paying much more closer attention than like an average viewer would. So just keep that in mind. Now you can continue.
Government agent.
The only person who could have been a government agent is the dude at the beginning. But why would the government agent give the evil terrorist accused dude?
So however they ordered their credits. Dr. Wojcik Borg.
Villain dude. Yeah.
Gunner.
I don't know.
Maya Paris as Sadie.
Sadie's one of the two sisters, I believe.
Sadie as Maya Klosterman. Is what the name of the character is. Cameron.
The Black Ops girl? Cameron, I think, is one of the boyfriends.
Stick.
One of the Black Ops.
No, that Stick's the boyfriend that was driving the car.
No, that's Gunner.
No, Gunner's the one with glasses.
No, Gunner's the one driving the car, because remember when the pink chick ran at Gunner, who was a zombie? And she's screaming, Gunner, and Gunner, and Gunner?
Gunner had a gun. Is that where his name came from?
I think so. It's horrible character writing.
I guess it was Gunner. I don't know. Yeah, it was Gunner. Okay. You were correct. Okay. So we had Cameron, Stick, Duke, which is the guy you were saying before, who looks like straight out of All Stars music video.
Yes.
Coachella.
You can tell, because these aren't normal names, so they're Black Ops, but I have no clue who the Black Ops, which Black Ops character they were. He's the
racist
flag
guy.
Yeah.
Roxanne.
Well, mind you, he's not explicitly racist in the story, but when you're picking up on racist vibes from a character, that's even worse.
When you're picking up on racist vibes when he has a racist flag over his head, I'm not getting into that right now. Roxanne.
That's objectively worse than
Roxanne.
Openly racist. One of the sisters? Maybe?
That was the white. Possibly. That was the blonde sister with the terrible wig. SWAT.
Why would you name her Roxanne?
I have no idea.
SWAT?
I have no idea.
Well, it's Black Ops. It's not a normal name, so it's Black Ops.
Student.
I'm assuming the students at the beginning. Although, the other characters were students, except for the Black Ops.
The Dean.
The woman that appeared in one scene of the movie when she fired the professor before he got hit by a car.
Kara O'Knightley. And then Z-Rex, which is the T-Rex. Okay. So that is us going through the character names. If you can figure out why we couldn't name them, if you can't figure out why we couldn't name them, watch the film. So where should we go from here? Because I have so many notes.
Let's talk about the dinosaur. We need to talk about the dinosaur.
The dinosaur? You're talking too quiet. You keep going to cut out. Dinosaur.
Yes,
okay.
So we need to talk about the dinosaur.
Okay. So I'll let you begin with a rant about the dinosaur. We have 25:16 into the recording now. Okay. Please do not go over 30. So you have like 4.5 minutes.
I shall try. Okay. So beginning with the dinosaur. The most important job of a filmmaker when you're writing your script, when you're going through and dressing your set, when you're shooting a shot a certain way, when you're picking your lines, when you're picking your color grade, when you're picking what your characters say, if you cannot answer why they are doing it, cut it. Get rid of it. Immediately. So, like, we'll look at Toy Story because it's the best example for this. I think I'm stealing this from a YouTube video, but whatever. It's probably knowledge, and I'm being the middleman.
Did you watch the CinemaSins episode about this?
No. Okay. There's a CinemaSins for this?
That related video. We're talking about a video we saw recommended to us on YouTube.
We didn't watch this
for this podcast episode. Maybe if we make like a Patreon or something, we can watch that there. Go ahead.
Yeah. But
if you need a time check, just let me know.
Yeah. So look at Toy Story. Why are the characters toys? They're toys because they're facing toy issues. Stuff that a normal human wouldn't be. It's not just we're gonna make those toys so we can make a movie that's never been made before. Although that does play a part. In reality, it's like, we're looking at the script, these characters are facing issues only a toy could face. So that's why they are toys. When we get to this movie, why is the main zombie a T-Rex? Or a Z-Rex? That's horribly off scale, depending on shot to shot.
I can think of a reason, but I don't think it's a good enough reason to justify it being a T-Rex. And that reason is... they're bringing a extinct animal back to life with a serum, which just turns him into a zombie, which is the dumbest premise. But okay, go ahead.
And you can't even, that's not even a viable premise because no dinosaur is like that well kept. It'd be just, right. It's just bones. I feel like only reason it's a dinosaur, cool. It looked cool in the title.
It looked cool on the poster, which is, I think, on our Twitter page. I'm not sure.
Anyway. It does not serve the narrative. This would have been a much better movie if he was using the serum on humans and like there was no Z-Rex. And like if they had a script or a plot, this would be a better movie. It would be a movie, because I'm not even sure we can call this a movie. Garbage? Yes, we can call it garbage. But anyway, back to the dinosaur. So like just straight off, narratively, it's got no point. No point for it to be in the film. Now we get to how it was done. I get it. It's a low-budget film. You're working with costumes. There's no way you're going to be able to do a full CG creature unless you yourself specialize in visual effects, or you want to, and you have the knowledge to pull it off. But there are some tricks that you can use to make the costume look more real that they blatantly throw out the window. Jurassic Park is my favorite movie of all time. Just because it is a masterclass in how to make a movie, how to build characters, and how to do VFX and CGI properly. The only reason you should do any sort of VFX or CGI is if you cannot do it practically. That's it. Whether that's because it's too dangerous for the actors, or because it's just too unfeasible to do practically. Like buying a whole island and putting a theme park on it for Jurassic World. They had to do that digitally because it's just not
practical.
Again, by an island. Yeah.
Unless you're Mr. Beast.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, so the way they did this T-Rex, or Z-Rex.
You have like 50 seconds.
Dude in a costume. He had a green screen suit on. They keyed him out. That's why the legs look weird. They don't keep consistent scale. So it's like, depending on the shot. And when the dude punched the Z-Rex, everyone else needs a gun, but apparently this dude character can punch a T-Rex and knock it out and kill it.
Smash Mouth guy.
Yes, yeah, Smash Mouth guy. But it's just narratively, it's just unacceptable. in all honesty.
It is unacceptable how terrible the dinosaur was, and I'll go into my dinosaur rant right after this message from our sponsor. Welcome back. This is the Cheap Cinematics Podcast, where we're talking about Jurassic Dead. So Evan just finished his rant about the dinosaur, and now it's my turn. So I picked up on some... I picked up on some inconsistencies that's hard to explain without timestamps and without photos, but this is a podcast. This is an audio podcast. Can't really explain that in photos on a podcast. So I'm trying to figure out how I want to phrase my words. I didn't write this out like I should have. It's inconsistent at best. It's inconsistent at best. Dollar Tree trash at worst. I feel like, what?
You're insulting Dollar Tree.
Oh, I said that because I want to go into a review I'm reading on IMDb real quick after this. But it's like there was a Spirit Halloween in the neighborhood, and they were having a closing sale for everything that they had in their store, and it was like $3 for this dinosaur costume. And they're like, this will work great. We can just make it bigger in the scene without realizing that if they shoot outside, they can't do that very well because then the background will be all messed up, and that's okay. But I feel like they took the dinosaur shots. I think this credited 4 different people as puppeteers for the dinosaur. I'm not too sure about that. But there were, I read the credits last night, but there were like 4 people that were credited as puppeteers. So obviously trying to get all 4 people in a low budget film together is going to be very difficult to puppeteer this dinosaur, but you can tell that they didn't have a lot of time to do it. And I'm trying to be objective when looking at this, because I don't want to harsh on this low budget film, because this is supposed to be a constructive podcast. I feel like if they would have taken more time away from making strawberry jelly blood and putting it into making the dinosaur look more realistic and better to fit the show, I feel like that would have been a better use of their time. But that's their filming time, and that's just my personal opinion on that. So I'm not going to say it's absolute garbage, but I'm going to say it's inconsistent at best, not worth a dollar at worst. If this was a client's film, if it wasn't the person who wrote and directed this film that edited it, which I'm guessing it was, I don't think they would be getting paid.
Okay, so since this is supposed to be a constructive podcast, where we basically condense hours of YouTube tutorials down into about 5 minutes reviewing, or 5 to 10 minutes trying to give advice on films. Okay, so let's start off with, you easily improve this movie. If you want to keep the D-Rex, that's fine. So here's a new plot for this movie, okay? This scientist accidentally developed a serum for Dr. William Borg. Accidentally developed a serum that would bring stuff back to the dead. He is then killed, and the serum is taken by a rogue government agent who is holding a threat, sort of like the same way you would hold a nuclear bomb, I guess. So there, we have the premise for the movie. We have the villain. The villain's motivations, just write in something simple about getting fired for being too mentally unstable, and he wants revenge or something.
Which I think is what the original plot was, but
they horribly changed it. But keep the plot simple. It's a low budget film. The simpler you can do it, the better it will turn out. Like, I am currently working on a low budget film myself, and I'm keeping it simple. Well, yeah, I don't know anything about audio, but.
Yeah, I'm editing this whole podcast, so if it sounds bad and Evan's audio sounds bad, blame him because he doesn't know how a microphone works. But if my audio sounds bad, I apologize.
But anyway, we're keeping it simple. We are only shooting in basically minimal props are required. Okay.
And I'm telling him that he is not allowed to rely on VFX, or I'm not going to do the audio work.
Minimal props. Start off with that. Costumes, random clothes, whatever you have, basically. Keep the cast small. The smaller the cast, the easier it will be for reshoots, the easier it will be to direct them, the easier it will be to shoot them. So, cast.
What are you going to do to the cast?
I'm keeping it at 4 people.
What are you going to do to the cast? Are you going to shoot them?
Oh, I meant with the camera.
But I don't think I want to act in your movie.
We're talking about movies. What do you expect?
I'm just kidding.
In the shooting locations, I'm not going out here and being like, oh, I want a bunker. I want a nuclear missile silo. Keep it simple. I have access to a forest. We're going to shoot in a forest. That's it. That's pretty much it. We have access to a town. We can shoot in the town.
We're not spoiling the movie by any means because I want y'all to go out and see it. Maybe you'll be like this review, but that I'm about to read here in a minute. But
keep it simple. Okay, so we keep it simple. We have the basic plot. We have the basic premise. And now, do an actual character development. Okay? That's simple. Should be simple. Okay, so you have college students going on a camping trip, okay? You have the boyfriend fighting with the younger sister because the younger sister doesn't like her.
Their character development is that they all die.
Yes, don't let all the characters die. Main characters always have plot armor, if you will. It's just sort of a given, I guess. I mean, I'm not scared. I'm probably going to be killing off the character that you play in the most gruesome way possible. But
what's that supposed to mean?
But anyway, you need to just develop characters. Have an actual plot structure. Your cinematography is actually okay. I don't mind it that much. Like,
if they didn't rely on graphic or on VFX so much, I think it would have been a better film.
It would have definitely been a better film because people say the story is the strongest part. If you have a bad story, you're gonna have a bad film, and this is obviously true in this case. Everything, the audios and visuals are supplemental to the story. Always think of it this way: if you have if you're ordering a meal. And your meal is a raw, in your main course, which is the story, is a raw steak that's unedible.
Oh, that sounds awesome. No, I'm kidding.
Obviously, you're going to rely, to finish the meal, you're going to rely on the supplemental stuff, the audio and the visuals. But they can't replace the actual meal, they can at least give you something.
Like the mashed potatoes, the salad.
Now imagine the free birthday cake when
you tell everyone that's a birthday, even though it's not actually your birthday, so you can get free birthday cake.
Yeah. So the salad is basically rotted with flies.
Don't sue me, O'Charlie's.
And you only got half of burnt mashed potatoes.
Okay. So anyway. Are you done with your rant about that? I think we should rename this podcast to Evan Ranch, Josh Responds. Okay.
That's a good name.
So I want to read this review. So I really love IMDb reviews because they're honest from real people, unlike Rotten Tomatoes. This is by Jorgito 2001, released in August 2020. Dollar Tree find and I still feel robbed. That's right. I picked up the Blu-ray and DVD combo pack for $1. The cover looked cool. I like ye dinosaurs, and I also like y'all things dead. Maybe this is one of those so bad it's good films like Sharknado or Lava Lantua. Ugh, no, no, no. Cheap VFX, FX, bad blonde wigs, bad acting, cheap green screen backgrounds, and laughable rubber dinosaurs that make the 1960s Godzilla look like an Oscar nominee for best makeup. Bottom line is, even at $1, I overpaid. I'm too embarrassed to ask for a refund at the Dollar Tree, so I'm hoping I can unleash this vile combo set on some unsuspecting fool at my next home garage sale. Shoot, I'll even give it away. I think that's putting something that we all believe in.
I would pay $1. I'd pay $10 for this movie, just so I could burn it. However,
I might need to go to Dollar Tree to see if our local Dollar Tree has this.
Yeah. Okay. Are you ready to talk about the visual effects?
Can I read one more review and I'll let you go on a VFX or yes. A VFX rant? So this is a 10 out of 10 star review by Everyday Idiot. The name is My Life, or the headline is My Life is Complete. What can I say? My life is complete after watching this movie. The budget to make the movie must have been at least £5, as you can tell by the amazing green screen quality throughout the whole movie. But let's not forget the actors and actresses who just blew my mind away. Why aren't these people in more movies? And that one blonde girl from White Chicks who plays Roxanne. Just well done. Claps. Excellent movie, perfect for anyone with two brain cells or less. These reviews are just getting mean.
There is a point where you need to be mean to get... Because this is not okay. You're calling yourself a filmmaker and you're making this stuff. I am more acceptable of a filmmaker, and I haven't even made a movie yet. Because at least I didn't make this, whatever this is. But, okay, now, time for the visual effects stuff.
Can I read just the beginning of one more review? Yes. If you live in a state,
actually do that.
If you live in a state where marijuana is legal and you're partaking, then you're probably going to love this movie. If you're a heavy drinker and a happy drunk, you'll probably like it too. Just to say, we were both sober while watching this. I don't think that's, if you can tell by the notes, that's pretty obvious. But, okay. Now I'm going to give, we have about 20 minutes left in the show. I'm going to give as much time as Evan may consume to talk about the VFX. I'm going to mute my mic. I'm going to go grab a bottle of water, and I'll be right back.
Okay, let's get begin. Let's get started. Visual effects can be defined as two separate things, in my opinion. It all depends on who you are as a person. If you consider special effects, visual effects, I feel like visual effects can be split into two categories. Special effects, the stuff you do on set, and CGI, computer-generated imagery, the stuff you do on the computer. Stuff like Blender, Maya, Houdini, After Effects, Nuke, Natron even. That's not a good one. But anyway, the whole point of VFX was to do stuff that you couldn't do practically, whether that be blowing up a mountain or something like that. The whole point, back to the dinner thing, visual effects is like the dessert, the something you don't need, but if you want a full meal, you're going to sort of want it, you know? Visual effects, they need to be used sparingly, they need to be used... The less visual effects you have in your movie, in my opinion, the less obvious they are. This movie breaks it. Every shot in the back, second half of the movie, first half of the movie, is a green screen shot. I've got no problem with that. Ian Hubert, if you look at his work, he has pulled off Hollywood level quality in free open source software using nothing but a green screen in his garage. It takes a lot of time and work, but he has done it. He's pulled it off. It looks amazing. It looks incredible. Not everyone has his talent. Very few people have his talent. And they are often working at the big Hollywood studios, getting paid millions of dollars to make the giant stuff you see on screen. Now, there are some things you can do to improve your visual effects and your special effects. One, in this movie's case, for every shot that shows the Z-Rex, it should have been a silhouette shot. It would have been scarier. It would have made it more tense, more dramatic. The scaling would have been easier to hit, and it would just look better.
So I'm back. Can I comment on that a little bit?
Yes.
I just want to say quick, I disagree with you there. I don't believe every single shot that shows it should have been a silhouette, but I believe that they should have used silhouettes more and relied more on, and actually not relied, but made it more life-sized where they could, and made it more life-sized where they couldn't as well by making it more life-sized, period. I just wanted to say that real quick. Back to you.
The silhouette thing, I feel like the silhouette should be used much more than they are, for the sense of fear and terror and tense, and make the movie more tense. However, when you just have it walking around, there's like about at least 4 minutes of this movie just dedicated to watching the Z-Rex walk around. Yeah, that adds nothing to the story. I think it's just like dinosaur thing we were talking about earlier. But the best visual effects are the ones you can't see. The ones that are supplemented by live footage, the ones that are cut in and out of live footage, and more importantly, the ones that are simple and you can believe it can be done practically. Because again, the best visual effects are the ones you never see. And the best special effects are the ones that
don't exist.
You do see. But yeah, basically, they don't exist. You think they are actually part of the film. Now, if you're dedicated to going this green screen route, which you shouldn't be, you should not be, even Hollywood films don't do this, like, there's a reason, hundreds of years, or like 100 years of filmmaking, and there's a reason people don't do full CG now. Just no. But anyway, if you are dedicated, if you're hardcore, you want, I want all this special effect, I want all this stuff and special effects and visual effects are the only way I can get this done. You need to sort of think about your budget, but if you still want to do it, after you've thought about your budget, thought about different ways you could rewrite the story using stuff you already have, and you're so set that you want to do this, here's a few things to make it better. One, storyboard your whole movie so you know what's going to be in the VFX shots.
I just want to say, this is advice coming from a person who has never made a movie. Just wanted to say that real quick.
Yes. Okay. So, storyboard. Is this, like, the legal? Disclaimer, I've never made a movie, so take my advice with, like, somewhat of a grain of salt.
Just like you don't take financial advice from people on Reddit, you don't take movie advice from someone who's ever made a movie. Just go ahead.
Keep this in mind, however. But, one, storyboard it, make sure you know what it's going to be. This way, if there's a light in your CG background, put an actual light on set. Lighting is the biggest thing. If you can match the lighting between two shots, almost nothing else will really actually matter, you know?
Yeah, and that's a big problem that these movies suffer from, is that they didn't match the lighting and they tried to do it in post and it made everything look a bluish green hue when it shouldn't have. And sometimes they match the lighting on effects. Good.
No, you continue. I'll say what I'm gonna say.
They tried to match the lighting, like on one of the scenes where I think it was SWAT got shot. They matched the lighting of three of the four blood splotches. Then the fourth one was just solid red, like the color of my hat that you can't see, but Evan can see it. Like the color of my head, when the rest of the blood was like a darkish, reddish, actual blood-looking color. And I think if movie makers were to take the time, which I know low-budget films usually don't have a lot of that, It's not your highest priority. You have to take the time to make the editing look accurate. You have to take the time on set to make all of the changes you can make on set to prevent you from having to do so much in post, but also to prevent you from having these problems that the lighting doesn't match at all. I honestly thought I was looking at a seventh grade project.
Yeah.
When it comes to looking at the lighting.
They at least recognized that was an issue. It was far too late to fix anything. They probably should have recognized that as an issue on post, but most people don't think about it. They think it's, key out the green screen, take a photo, boom, it looks like Hollywood. No.
Which
it,
they did not key out the green screen very well.
Yes, that too. However, they tried to correct it in post with color correction. Color correction, I don't know much about it. I've been experimenting with it for my own, because I want to color correct it, because Canon has some nice like processing AI. However, it's not exactly the way I want it. I want to fix that. However, when you're doing color correction, there are three ways you can go about it, and they seem to have found a fourth way you can go about it. The first one, you can pay someone who's better than you to do it. And if you have the budget, do this. Do not do anything else. If you have the money to pay someone that knows how to do it, pay them. Pay them extra if you need to. Try and work in a deal so you can...
And if you did pay someone and you get results like this, file a lawsuit.
Or file a complaint. Get them kicked off of Fiverr or something like that. Because if you can have someone else who knows how to do it, do it. Have them do it.
Always keep the raw footage in case your editing doesn't go the way you want it to.
Yes, that too. Always have a backup of your raw footage. Now, here's the next thing. Here's the second step you can do in Hollywood. You can learn how to do it yourself. This will get the results. If you put in the time, you will get the results you want. You will get the results you want. It might not look the best, but it will look passable. No one will really notice. However, you're going to need to put in the time. You're going to need to put in the effort. And it may not come out exactly as how you imagine, but it would come out better than, well, this third option. Grab a free LUT and put it on as the third option. Don't do this. Just don't. Just don't. LUT packs, you might think that's all color grading is. No. If you just say you have a night scene, say you have a day scene, you put the same LUT on both, it's going to look different. It's going to look horrible. Because LUTs are specifically tailored for a specific type of footage. And if you need to find a new LUT that matches your previous LUTs for each specific shot, you might as well learn how to color grade or pay someone else.
And I have a question.
The fourth way is you just add a blue or green tint.
I have a question
for
you.
Don't add just a blue or green tint. Yes.
Does Windows Movie Maker have chroma key?
No, I don't believe so.
Because if it did, this movie is the embodiment of Windows Movie Maker.
I think iMovie does, like the app or the PC version.
Yeah, this, okay, so if you, version. I want you guys, all of you, to go to the link in the description or in the show notes and click on the IMDb link, okay? And I want you to look at the pictures before you look at the year. Pause the episode right now, go to that link, go to the IMDb, look at the photos, and tell me what year this movie looks like it was filmed in. I'll give you like 20 seconds to do that. Actually, you paused it, so it doesn't matter. This movie was filmed in 2017. This movie was made in 2017. It's 4 years ago.
They probably filmed in 2016.
Okay, still. That's when this movie was released, was 2017. And it feels like it was made in 2011.
Yeah.
It's just so unprofessional. That's just my comment.
Honestly, I've got nothing else to say. Just use specific lighting. Just use your cheesy VFX shots, apparently. It's all stuff I've said before.
Okay, so
honestly, it's just movie rating time. Like, let's just not keep going. Let's just move.
So before we rate it, what is your favorite line from the show? I already said mine. What's your favorite line from the movie?
I don't know. God dang it. Well, technically, it's the curse word, but I'm trying to keep it. This is TV-14. But we're trying to keep it PG here.
Now, why was that your favorite line?
Because that just summed up what I was thinking watching it.
And so mine was I'm going to say it again, Hoorah Monster Sushi. And the reason it was Hoorah Monster Sushi is because it's the only line in the movie, the only thing in the movie that wasn't done in post-production that made me laugh.
Yeah.
So, Evan, I'll let you start off with your rating and why you gave that. Oh, say why you gave it the rating you gave it, and then say your number out of 10.
Okay, the reason I give it this rating is...
And we're going to balance these out and put it on IMDb, by the way. Oh, I should say, start off. Out of 261 reviews, this has an average of 2.6 out of 10 on IMDb.
Okay, I'm going to give it a 1.3.
A 1.3? Wow.
Yes.
Oh.
The reason I'm giving this a 1.3, and I feel like it's the big one we talked on earlier, the filmmaker did not want to tell a story, and he did not have a... There is a difference between having a story to tell and wanting to tell stories. If you want to tell stories, you can be a filmmaker. You just need to come up, have someone make the stories for you to tell. Like, for me, I struggle coming up with something original, but if you give me something, I can have, like, I can make it my own. I need a starting point. I feel like a lot of people are that way. But if you can come, if you don't need anything, if you can start at step zero and go, good for you. I need to start at step one or something. Step two. Now, they did not have a story to tell, and they did not want to tell stories. I can't tell. If the audience can't tell that you made this movie for a specific reason, whether that be tell a message, tell a story, or tell this story, then you did something wrong. This movie looks like it's either a cash... I feel really bad saying this, because I imagine the director actually did want to make an action movie, and they just made it with their friends.
I just
want to
say, I'm going to put this before everything. If you are a member of the cast or crew that is listening to this podcast, I'm really sorry. because we're not trying to be harsh. We're just trying to explain our opinions watching your film. Okay.
Yes, your goal, filmmaking, no matter how much it is an art form, it will always be a business first, no matter what level you are on. This, your end goal is to appease the customer. In this case, it would be the viewer, us, basically. It gets even more difficult when your customer is a critic. More so when they're a critic who has studied. More so when there's a person who has studied and is like basically a student in your profession. And the worst is when they're a professional in your field. I'm just sorry. Because this is a business. It's also an art, but it's mostly a business. Why? What's most marketable is what gets made. However, this is also an art. It's a delicate balance you need to uphold. Filmmaking is an art. It's what shapes the lives of children and adults. It's a cause of a lot of kids. You get that joke, but this film, I'm sorry for saying this if you actually wanted to make a movie. This film looks like cash grab that failed, or this looked like someone who just wanted to make a movie for the sake of saying they made a movie.
So your final rating was what?
1.3.
Okay. So, I'm going to go a little bit back to my original paragraph, and I'm not going to take that much time because I know your time is valuable. If you like Mr. Beast-style explosion, strawberry jelly for blood, poorly chroma-keyed backgrounds, fart sounds, terribly balanced audio, and bad puppeteering, this movie is for you.
A movie with no story. A movie with no story. Don't forget that.
Story. I personally don't enjoy those things, and I didn't really enjoy this movie. So for that, I'm giving it a 2.4 out of 10. Because I could see how this could appeal to some people, but I don't see how it appeals to me. And for my personal rating, I would watch it again after not taking notes, trying to completely evaluate the film, and just from actually watching it, trying to see it as a humorous film or a more serious film, however they want it to be interpreted and how I interpret it. So that is why I give it a 2.4 out of 10, which brings our average to, drumroll please, 1.85 out of 10 for our rating. So I will be putting that into IMDb when this episode goes out as a 2 out of 10, because I don't think you can do partial stars. So that is our final rating for The Jurassic Dead. If you are the director, member of the cast that is listening to this, and you'd like to email us, complain to us, bite our ear off for disrespecting your film, you can do that. And if you're just a listener, you can email us at cheapcinematicspodcast@gmail.com. Make sure you check out our Twitter page, Cheap Cinematics. My username is Movie Buff Josh. What is your username, Evan?
Movie Buff Evan.
All right. And you can check us out there. TikTok, our clips for this podcast will be at Cheap Cinematics on TikTok. Thank you for listening. This has been the Cheap Cinematics Podcast, which is a Mountain Range Studios production.